Welcome, welcome, welcome to Civility 360, folks. It's your platform for all things civility, where civility, influence, and action are our deliverables. Listen, I'm Professor Vernet A. Joseph, and I've got my great friend, the co-host, Sir Clyde Rivers, on the line with us today. How are you doing, my friend?
Professor, I'm fantastic. Man, ready to make an impact in this world like we do every time we meet.
Every single time. Well, listen, I'm so excited about today's show. Today, we're going to be talking about the topic of leadership after the crisis. Leadership after the crisis. You know, the art of leadership is truly influencing others to do that which you know needs to be done. So as we look at this crisis, what does leadership look like after the crisis? Because in many cases, we have found that people haven't been led. Now, we need to talk about that. We need to talk about that because in this crisis, some leaders have gone dormant. And what we need to talk about is, what does this look like after the crisis? You must lead in austere times. You must lead when times are good, but you've got to lead every single time. You cannot ghost your people. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about that, Sir Clyde Rivers. I want to talk about leadership after this crisis. What does it look like? And we can walk that out in many different industries and arenas. Talk to me.
Yeah, let me see. No one had prepared for this pandemic. Systems that think they're wiser than everyone in the world are not wiser than everyone in the world. They did not see a pandemic coming. Their business models, their methodologies, in many cases, are now obsolete. Because we've been forced to another paradigm of communication. Can you imagine if a business doesn't have digital platforms? Can you imagine what it's going to be like to, or if you kept your people uninformed because you wanted to have all knowledge and not them have any? And now, and now you can't even see them. So now they have no idea what to do. So this will cause leadership to rethink the game. And man, Professor B, someone told me something yesterday. Man, Professor Akama, Jared Akama, he said, Dr. Rivers, a good leader makes sure they give people the information they need to win.
He said,
a bad leader withholds the information, and when they get old, they lose everything because they didn't build anyone else.
When you
build other people, you live a long time through them. So the key is building people, Professor V.
Wow. You know, there are some things that I want to really tap into when we begin to talk about leadership after the crisis. Let's talk about leadership during the crisis and then move on to after the crisis. Because what you just stated, Sir Clyde Rivers, is what's most important. You've got to show your people that you care, that they matter, and that you value them. How do you do that? A good leader who leads during a crisis have to lead with compassion.
Wow, that's good.
Listen to what I'm saying. You've got to be able to lead with compassion. Now, many people don't understand that word compassion. Compassion in a natural or normal circumstance is a leader who is mindful and careful to show compassion under pressure, especially in times like these.
Wow.
See, the person, if you're being led by someone who panics when you panic, I don't know that they're the leader. When you can really see a leader is when everybody else is panicking, they take charge. They become that resilient voice that comes with answers and solutions instead of being frantic, just like everyone else. That's why they are the leader. They're the one leading from the front. So you've got to have compassion to be able to weather the storm, whatever that storm looks like, epidemic, pandemic, bombings, this, that, whatever the case may be. Good leaders learn how to operate in compassion during a crisis. The other thing that I'd like to say about that, Dr. Rivers, is this. Good leaders during a crisis bring clarity. They bring clarity. Now, what do I mean when I say clarity? See, in difficult times, people's mind and judgment is clouded. But a good leader is going to ensure that they bring clarity to their people, even in the difficult times. Leaders lead. Leaders give guidance. Leaders make sure that there is clarity. I've never met someone who's been praised for leadership that didn't lead with clarity or compassion. Let's stop there. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Wow. Wow. You see, man, Professor B, I believe there's peacetime leadership and crisis leadership.
Come on now.
A good leader is trained in both. Because if a leader has true vision, crisis doesn't change the vision, it interrupts. So if you have a crisis interruption, it doesn't mean the whole fort caved in. And we have to weather this storm and looking at the storm for new narratives. And that's what a good leader right now has their eyes and ears open that, wow, what can we do better? What can we do different? So this crisis is exposing weaknesses and exposing strengths. But if you have, as I played basketball, we had guys that were game players and guys that were practice players. There were practice all-stars. When you get it, when that clock goes off, when it goes bing and the game starts, freeze. And other people answer the phone when it's ringing. So we need to understand that peacetime leadership is a part of leadership. Crisis leadership is a part of a leadership narrative, and a good leader has both. Well, how do you motivate during peace? But see, Professor B, what I've seen in peacetime is this: people get comfortable with data.
Wow.
The data says the data. Okay, great. What's the data saying a crisis? Nothing, because a crisis is something that they didn't prepare for, didn't understand for, and there's no data. So now data-driven leaders are good, but they're not always effective in a crisis because they're looking for numbers and stats, and we're like innovation. Dr. West told me something about in the military, there's an in-field promotion.
Yeah.
When you're in a war, they can promote you in the field when the bullets are firing, when the stress is going, there's in-field promotion. Doc, would you tell us a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So listen to this, and I'm glad that you actually brought that up. Because leadership, notice we were talking about leadership during a crisis. And that's what this infield promotion is. Think about this. I want you guys to hear exactly what we're saying. That's why it's imperative for you to know two levels above you, as well as two levels under you. Who does what and how does it affect the mission? Because when your leader is taken out, we look around and we look for the most qualified person who can now lead us in the battle, in the midst of the battle. That's what we call infield promotion. So when you turn around, it doesn't necessarily mean because you have the rank. What it means is, hey, you've got the leadership. You can take charge. You can be one level and get promoted five levels above if that person's been taken out. So when we say to you, you don't have to get ready, you need to stay ready. Infield promotion is what that's really about. Are you prepared to lead? Are you prepared to do that which you've been called to do? You know, the funniest thing that I know, Sir Clyde Rivers, that I've heard all my military career, is people complain about what the leader is doing because they never had to walk a day in their shoes. But the moment that they get thrown into that position, they go silent. They don't know what to say. And now they feel the weight of that leadership that that person was carrying, but it's too late then, because you've got to be able to lead everyone who's behind you. So watch your mouth when you're talking about leadership during a crisis.
Wow.
Watch what you say, watch what you think, because you just might be next.
Wow. Aha! Wow. Wow. Doc, think about peacetime civility and crisis civility. In peacetime civility, leaders now are going to have to teach their institution what they didn't teach them in the past.
Yeah.
They're going to have to open their hearts and share information with their organization that they would hold true and not share in the past. Why?
Wow.
Because when there's a crisis, I may not be able to get to the office now.
Mm.
The files may be locked up.
Come on now.
And if I'm the only one with the knowledge, or if I go down, if I get sick or something, as a person gets sick, no one knows information. And this pandemic has changed leadership, because yes, people are saying, they're understanding what they didn't prepare for. They're understanding what they didn't know now. They're going, wow. So we went down and no one had the keys to the vault. But leadership is going to have to re-educate the institutions, show the institutions that, and say if it's a permanent structure, they may have to build a digital structure now. They may have to build whole new platforms now. So it's going to require a strong, humble leader that values the voices of others, that doesn't take leadership as a badge of honor to beat people up because you're the leader. Now they have to say, I'm the leader. Great. But I got all these other leaders that know something that I don't know. And it's time that we answer the phone on that one.
Go ahead. Ring, ring, Mr. Telephone Man. You're dialing the number and everybody is hearing it. Are you picking up what we're putting down? See, leaders are the voice. They're the resilient voice that keeps everything together. Leaders in business, leaders in leadership, leaders in relationship, leaders in finance, leaders in every single area. Peacetime civility, crisis civility. Let me bring all of this together. There's a such thing in leadership that's called community. See, because in the moments of crisis, there's two things that's going to happen. In uncertain times, the question is, are you going to bind together? Are you going to pull together? Or are you going to fall apart? And crisis leadership teaches you how to bind together even in the midst of uncertainty. See, there's a reason why people will tell you, I will follow you to the ends of the world. Why? Because they recognize that you have what it takes to lead them. A good leader is a leader who understands that there's enormous opportunity every single day. There's no lack. There's no shortage. They don't need to showboat. What do? They lead and they lead well. They help others to become leaders. Leaders that lead other leaders are great leaders. And when you recognize this, you see the enormous opportunity, and then you begin to say to yourself, how can I reinforce, how can I emphasize to these people the benefit of supporting each other? Because remember, the art of leadership is influencing others to do what you know needs to be done. But that, or that person who builds other leaders in the process, becoming a leader of leaders, what they actually do is they reinforce and they emphasize the benefit of supporting each other. And they demonstrate it with such strength that the organization bonds together as a community. That's a whole nother level of leadership. What type of leader will you be? Or what type of leader are you currently? That's what we're asking you now. So leadership during And after a crisis, there's different levels to this thing. And how are you leading your people? Are you emphasizing and reinforcing how important it is that everyone is valuable? Or are you making it about you? Is this a one-person show? Or are you a leader of leaders? That's a question that I want you to ask yourself today. Talk to us, Sir Claude Rivers.
Now, leadership and employees. This is power. The vision that a leader has, if it's being implemented by other people, the ones that are implementing are just as valuable, because you can have the greatest ideas in the world. And here it is, you can think people are a dime a dozen. People are priceless, not a dime a dozen.
Come on now.
So what happens is, and I'm talking business all over the world.
All over.
I've seen nations where leaders didn't value people that knew their business. Guess what happened? When they got fired, they went to the competitor and told them the business plan of the one. And I'm saying, right, leaders, you have to open your eyes. And then, Professor V, you are a company or a country, any nation, that sends your manufacturing abroad. Eventually, the one that does your manufacturing knows more than you about the processes. So I tell people, build, make sure you keep the blueprint, or you'll have to create another manufacturing system because somebody else knows how to do what you do. I remember I was in a country, I won't call the name of the country, and I saw all these workers. All these workers from a certain country. And I'm asking myself, and then in 5 years, the manufacturing for what they were doing in the other country was now in their country.
There it is.
Unintended consequence. You bring the and I asked one guy, he said, oh, those are the donkeys. I said, no,
that's
the engine. That's the engine. You call them donkeys, they're the engine. Because they will keep your revenue coming.
Come on now.
Treat them like donkeys. Or great. Now all the donkeys went home.
So now
there's a new sheriff that's manufacturing for the one that called them the donkeys.
There it is.
You never ever devalue a human being by thinking they're not valuable because you have more money or you have this. Never ever ever mistreat the currency of God. And that's what many leaders have done. But they're going to have to face the music when the world opens back up, because there's a brand new tune. There's somebody else playing the guitar, Dr. V. There's somebody else on the drum set. There's somebody else leading the orchestra now.
Come on now. That's exactly what I'm talking about right there. As we've went over a couple of the different things, watch how this all comes together. So we're talking continuity now. Because you mistreated that person and there is an unintended consequence. You mistreated that person thinking that you were always going to be on the top, but there's an unintended consequence. So when we begin to look at continuity, we have to look at it from this perspective. Use the time to examine your current vision and strategy. Because if you mistreat people, your strategy is a strategy that will fail. If you don't treat people with respect and dignity, your strategy will fail. You may ride a high horse for a moment, but I promise you, your strategy will fail. And as a leader, as a world changer, we have to understand that the world does change. Just as you mentioned, we have to ensure that our organization, our people, and everything that we're dealing with is ahead of the curve.
Yeah.
And what happens is when you mistreat people, people will begin to rise up. See, I don't care who you are. And I've talked to generals. I've talked to 4 stars. I've talked to people who are the CEOs of mega corporations. And I tell them the same thing. You are at the top of the food chain. But make no mistake about it, without the people who are working, you are nothing. You are at the top of the food chain. But if you don't value your people and the people don't do the work, you can't get the accolade. You can't get the revenue that you're seeking. You can't get anything without those people. So it always goes back to people treatment. How you treat a person will determine your rise and your fall. That's the way that it works. And that is better than a regular law. That's a biblical law. I love it. Talk to us, Sir Clyde Rivers.
I have a good friend. He said, Dr. Rivers, I've lived in privilege. Great. I said, I have too. He says, what do you mean? I said, true privilege comes from God. True privilege doesn't come when you have one up on someone.
Right.
And what happens, those same people that told me they were privileged are now at the bottom of the food chain. And I said, whenever you have privileged people, make sure you bring other people to the privilege with you. Because privilege doesn't last always if it involves mistreating the currency of God.
There it is.
People. And I always come back to the currency of God, because James 2:8, the royal law, this law, Professor B, governs the entire world.
Yes.
Love your neighbor as yourself, you live under liberty.
Mm.
Mistreat anyone and you live under transgression. Wow. So you may ride the wave for a minute, but trust me, transgression is coming if God's currency, people, are mistreated. And hear this, the whole world's going to hear this message, the whole world, because they're going to face the consequence of it if they don't listen.
Come on,
Professor B.
Come on, sir. Listen, let me share a few things that I want people to understand about leadership before, during, and after crisis. We've talked about some of the during. Let's talk about the after. You know, everyone's going to go back to work eventually. Everyone's going to go back into what they would call their norm. But I want you to know that the mind that got you into what you're into is not the mind that's going to get you out. So you're going to have to shift your mindset. You're going to have to change up the way that you do things. Major corporations and organizations, countries alike, here are a few things that I would share with you. Number one, you've got to focus on the communication and retention of your people. Because during this epidemic and pandemic, they have realized it wasn't that important. And you didn't see them as that important. As a leader, you want to come back in and you want to make sure that you focus on the communication and retention of your staff, your leaders, everyone. I don't care. I'm talking from the church house to the White House to the King's house. You all need to look at this and say to yourself, what does my communication look like with my people? That's the first thing that we're going to say. The second thing is, make sure that you keep close quarters with innovation. The you that got you in to where you're at and the things that you were doing before the crisis are not going to be good enough after the crisis. So you're going to have to promote innovation and creativity within your people. You're going to have to show them how to show up and show out in different ways, how to help people beyond what you were doing prior to the crisis. Now, whether that looks like ingenuity, moving into a digital age, there's several different pieces for that. And as we look at that, I also want you to look at this. Despite what your industry may be, you need to look at what your supply chain looks like. You need to ask yourself, what's the supply and demand factor of your organization now? Do the people need what you're putting out? Or are you providing at the people's need? That's very, very important. So check your supply chain. And then you're going to have to check your structure and your plan. Because the structure that you had before the crisis is not the same structure that you will continue to operate in after the crisis. you may need to shift your structure and develop a new plan. And then lastly, what I would say to you is, you want to make sure if you're an organization that is, building off of cash flow, what are the avenues that are bringing in the cash flow? Watch this. And this is the way that you evaluate your cash flow. How can you better serve? When you look at how you can better serve, cash flow will never be a problem. If you can solve problems, you'll never be broke another day in your life.
Good.
All right, I'm passing that one back over to you.
Ladies and gentlemen, as we close this evening, God is the original innovator of all things.
Yes.
Leaders around the world consult God and treat his creation with 100% value. That's the key.
That's the key, my friends. You heard it right here on Civility 360. God is our source. And as we treat people the way that they should be treated, everything else will line up. Everything else will get on board. And there'll be new eras that you'll walk into. We're talking leadership after the crisis, leadership before the crisis, leadership during the crisis. Lead your ship. That's what we're telling you today. Lead your ship. First, do an inward reflection. Look for the valuable resource that's found within you. And then go forth and produce at my optimal levels. If you do that, your organization will appreciate you. You will build leaders, and you'll become a leader of leaders, then a leader of leaders leading groups of leaders. That's the ultimate goal. Help someone to recognize their value, appreciate them from the beginning, and watch how your organization soars. This is what we have for you today. You know, it's always a pleasure to come to you on Civility 360 as we bring you civility from a 360-degree angle around the world. Again, if you have questions, thoughts, or concerns, make sure that you send them in to civility360@gmail.com. Make sure you follow and lead with us. Notice how I said that. Follow and lead with us on all social platforms at civility360. Blessings, peace, and productivity to you all. When the people are civil, lives will change.